I went home and opened up my Bible. I opened it to Romans 4, talking about Abraham's faith. And then I went to Hebrews. And then I went to Romans 5, because it seems like everybody in this church is going through something. A lot of times when somebody's going through something, and there's a lot of Christians that think that God's judgment is on. You know, you're going through something, you're sick because God's judgment is on you. And that led me to think about Job and his friends. And when Job was going through something, and most of the time, I got to admit to you, most of the time I'm going through something, I read Job.
Yeah.
Because when I'm going through something, I read Job. I'm not going through anything compared to what Job is doing.
Yeah.
And so, but this time that I'm going through a little trial in my life, I haven't read Job. So, Romans 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice of hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and spirit hope. So a lot of times we go through things because God is trying to build our faith. I often told my guys that there's not a whole lot of stuff to do in the downtime there. So they like to go down to the weight room and lift weights. Get some relief from them. They stress out, and it makes them feel better. But our trials and tribulations is God's weights for us. And if we're ever going to get stronger, we're going to have to learn how to lift the weights that He gives us.
Yeah, that's good.
And in Hebrews 5:8, it says, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And sometimes we do go through trials and stuff because of us, because of what we've done. And God's chastening us. But in Job's case, that's not so. In Job's case, Satan comes up to God, and God goes, what are you doing? He goes, I'm roaming to and fro. And God says, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And then Satan goes on and says, yeah, but you've got this head of protection around him. I can't touch him. And then God says, okay, we'll touch him. You can touch him, but you can't kill him. So all of a sudden, this guy who's in God's eyes hasn't done any wrong. In fact, he's the most perfect person on earth at the time. When I read that and started writing this down, I got to thinking of John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist was beheaded. But Jesus says there's not a man that ever walked the earth like him. So, good things happen to good people. I mean, bad things happen to good people. So, when you see somebody that's going through something, instead of being the self-righteous people like Job's friend, saying, well, that's God's judgment. They must have sinned. They've done something wrong. We need to understand that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And we shouldn't pass judgment on somebody. And Job... Job 1, verse 20. Job has been told that all of his kids have died. All of his wealth is gone. There's nothing left of Job's wealth or his well-being except for him and his wife. And it says in Job 1:20, after he's been told all these things, that Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down on the ground and worshiped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord had taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I don't know about y'all, but I'm not Job sometimes. I went through some things, and I shake my fist at God and say, why are you doing this to me? And man, right after I did that, it just like that, I felt so ashamed.
Yeah.
I felt so bad that I had done that. When we're going through a lot of trials in our life, I don't know of too many people that fall down and worship God. I don't know of too many people that don't try to blame somebody else for what they're going through. And Pastor talked about this morning, and I did this yesterday. I changed a few things this afternoon, but I did this yesterday, and he was talking about people go through things, and people watch you. And how are we supposed to be of faith? And we talk the walk, but sometimes we don't walk the walk. And if we walk the walk, people are watching us and they see us. They see us go through trials and they say, he's still trusting God. We had there's still a guy over at the village that he went through a lot of things. He got divorced, he got married, he got out of the ministry just for a little bit, and then he came to the village. And his dad called him one night and says, J.C., I want to know what's going on. He said, you went through all this stuff and you're still doing this. Why? And he goes, I don't know what you have, but I want it. Mm-hmm. So he's watched his son all these years. His son's preached to him. But he's drawn to Christ because of his testimony and how he's acting, and his faith has not wavered. That he's stayed with Christ. That he's still trying to do what God wants him to do. And that led his dad to the Lord. So we are being watched by people. And what we do really matters. I don't know about your faith, but my faith is not like Job in 13:15, where he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I got up the other morning and I was talking to God and I said, you know what? The thing that really scares me right now is I'm not in control. And as Christians, we're not supposed to be in control of our life. You know, we get up every morning and say, Lord, this is what I want you to do. This is my prayer list. I'm lifting up all my wants and desires to you, and this is what I want you to do today. But how many times do we really get up and say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? And I find in this time that I've been asking God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I don't know what to do. You have to show me. You have to do something. I can't get myself out of this mess. You have to. And that's what David, I like the stories of David, because David's always crying out to God, what do you want me to do? Yeah. Even when he sinned, he ran back to God and said, I have sinned against you and thee only. You're the only one who can save me. And that's how we need to be in every day of our life, whether we're going through a trial or not. We need to be running to God. We need to be asking God, what do you want me to do today? Because he's supposed to direct our steps. I like in Job 42. You know, the Bible says that, I wish I wrote this down. It says, God, I forget what it says, but a broken and a contrite heart. That's who God's going to listen to. Not the proud. And I don't, maybe y'all haven't been around me too much, but I'm from Texas and I have a lot of pride. And that's hard sometimes to get rid of. But it also says that God won't even talk to a proud person. You know, I couldn't save me. And I can't save anybody else. God saved me. And I want to tell you something. I had a broken and contrite heart when I cried out to him. But it was through a lot of chastening that he got a hold of my heart. And the book of Job is about Job's sanctification. And we're all supposed to get sanctified. There's a lot of things in our life that I want to tell you something. God took a whole lot of things away from me just like that the day I got saved. He took the alcohol and the drugs and the cussing and all that stuff away just like that. But there's a whole lot of stuff he left there that I have to root out. And I have to get rid of. And we can't get rid of anything if we're prideful. If we're saying, hey, that I'm all right, everybody else is wrong, and I'm good with God and everything, but are we really good with God? Are we really doing what God wants us to do? And so, Job in chapter 42, says this in verse 5 and 6, and I love it. It says, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. And I know a lot of people that are in church every day of their life that I went to school with. And they've heard about God their whole life. And some of them was on a bus ministry. They would run and knock on doors and get kids and take them to the bus. One of them was a good friend of mine. And he was in the church every day that door opened. But he was doing exactly what I was doing out in the world. And he had heard of him. He had heard of God before. You know, I've heard of God my whole life, off and on. I wasn't a regular church goer, but when I was a kid, I went to church. But it says, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. You know, when I came to God, I met God. I'd heard of him before, but when I got saved, I met him. And I knew that I was a filthy, rotten, dirty sinner. And I had just met somebody who was holy, who was just, who was pure, who was loving. You see, I met him that day. I've heard of him before in my life, but now I met him when I got saved. And I think that when a Christian really comes to himself and finds out that, you know what, I can't do anything without God. That I can be as prideful as I want, but I can't get somebody healed. You know, sat there watching I had an uncle die here recently, and I was talking, my cousin 6 days older than me, so we were really close, and I'm really close to the whole family. They helped keep me alive until I got saved. And I was telling him that, he was saying, I'm trying to prepare myself. And I said, no matter how much you try to prepare yourself, when your dad dies, you're not prepared. It just, there's a finality about death that you cannot prepare yourself for. But, you know, I was thinking about laying there watching my dad die, and there's nothing you could do. There was nothing the doctors could do. And you get to where you're helpless, and you hate that, because that's another thing that you're not in control of, and you want to be in control of. You want to help that person. You want to save that person. You want to heal that person. And we can't do it, but only God can. So, Job says, I've heard of you before, but now my eyes seeth thee. I see you now. And man, I abhor myself. I repent in dust and ashes. Excuse me. You know, Job was a rich man. He had a lot of stuff. Everybody in town looked up to Job. Everybody in town hushed when he talked. And it talks about that in the story of Job. That when he talked, everybody listened. E.F. Hutton didn't have nothing on Job. Okay? But now nobody listened to him. Nobody looked up to Job. And that's when Job says, you know what, God, I need you more than anything in this world. And, you know, it's easy to get down on somebody. I went through this at the village when somebody left. It was like, well, they're not serving God anymore, so I don't need to hang around them or anything like that. And it's easy to get judgmental. But in Job 42, verse 10, it said, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friend. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. I love that. You know, when we're going through our trials, it's kind of easy to turn inward. It's kind of easy to look to ourselves and think about our problems and our woes and our miseries. But we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to turn to God and have Him and ask Him to get us through these trials, but we're also supposed to look at others. And we're supposed to be mindful of them. Joy means Jesus, others, than yourself. So, when we're going through our trials of our life, we need to concentrate on Jesus first others second, and then ourselves. Amen. And we've got that backwards, because when we're going through a trial, it's all about us. Oh, this hurts. This pain I'm going through, it's got to stop. I need this to be stopped right now. When Jesus was on the cross, he was looking down from the cross. He said, Father, forgive them.
Wow.
But they know not what they do. And it's so hard to do that sometimes. To take our eyes off of our problems and look to others' problems. One thing about this church that I love is we're praying for each other.
Yeah,
you know? And like I said the other day, that I never went up to my pastor before and said, you need to pray for this, that you need to get this prayed for. You need to get God to answer this prayer. I've always said that if God's not going to answer my prayer, then he's probably not going to answer your prayer for the same thing. But you know what? We all need people praying for us.
Yeah.
I may not ever walk up to you and say, you need to pray for this. But boy, I need you to pray for me. Just like you need me to pray for you. And we all need to, as we're going through trials, I was thinking about that. We'd watched a movie, and I turned on the news right after the movie was and got a story of that church for a little bit, and I turned it off and started working on this. But that thing that of that church, it kind of hit me. It touched me. Maybe it's called it's Texas. I don't know. But it touched me. What problem am I going through? What problem am I going through compared to what those people are doing? You know, we came to church this morning and had a great service. We all left. They went to church this morning not even thinking that anything was going to happen. And at least 25 of them, they left, but they didn't leave the way they thought they was going. What's our problem? What are we really going through? You know, the disciples were in a boat, and they were going across the water, and a wind came up. And they got scared. Sometimes the wind's just barely blowing. Sometimes there's a little breeze, and we're screaming and hollering at Jesus. Come save us. Come save us. And he's going, where's your faith? There's nothing wrong. So, as Pastor said this morning, there's people watching us. And they're seeing what we're going to do. Are you going to crack? Are you going to get mad at God because there's a certain situation in your life that you don't like? Or are you going to blame others for the situation you're in? Are you going to turn to God and say, God, I don't understand this, but I know you're the only person to get me through? Because that's what we need to do. And in a way, Job shook his fist at God. Everybody says the patience of Job. Oh, Job didn't do anything. If you read, he's going, hey, I have done nothing. Why are you doing this to me? He said, yet, though he slay me, yet will I still trust him. I don't want to die. I want to be raptured. I don't want to go through any pain. I'm a big baby when it comes to pain. But what if God says that, all right, Tracy, it's time for you to go? I don't know if anybody can fight against God. When God says you're going to go, you're going to go. And if God says this is how you're going to go, I don't like this. But he told Peter, he said, you know what, when you were young, you did what you went where you wanted to go. But when you're old, you're going to stretch forth your hands, and they're going to take you to where you don't want to go. I don't want God to say that to me, because I really don't want to be crucified. And the greatest thing about that is Peter went. And Peter did what God wanted him to do. And they're saying that he was crucified upside down because he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. Whether that happened or not, I don't know. But I do know that he's martyred. And I do know that when we get to heaven, we're going to see Peter up there. And he's going to have a lot of things that we're going to want. He's going to be sitting on one of the thrones judging Israel. We get this concept that being a Christian, once you become a Christian, everything's easy. I had that concept after I got saved. Everything, man, I was getting blessed left and right, and I said, all they're going to do is go to church, like you said this morning. All they're going to do is go to church. I got to read my Bible. I got to pray, and I got to tithe, and God will give me anything I want. Woo-hoo! I didn't get the other thing that we're joint heirs with Christ. We're joint heirs if we suffer with Him.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to go through any trials. But as I told somebody the other day, if I can't go through this trial, I can't go through the next one that God has for me. We all go through things. And how we go through things affects us. Because, see, if we don't pass the test, we don't get blessed. If we don't go through the trial, if we try to run from the trial, if we try to hide from the trial, like most people do, through drugs and alcohol. There's a stat out that how many evangelical Christians are on mood-changing drugs? Well, that tells me you don't have any faith. That you have to go to a doctor to change your mind so you don't think about something and worry. We're supposed to pray and give it to God and not worry anymore. So when we go through trials, we need to run to God first. And we need to think of others also as we're running to God. Because, see, other people are looking to us to see how we're going to handle it, if we're going to have that faith that we're supposed to have. We need to be mindful of others because they're going through things too. This is a messed up world. And everybody around here is going through something. But we didn't lose most of our concentration. We didn't lose most of our congregation this morning to an idiot with a gun. And it's just been a few days since New York happened. And I'm sorry to say that I almost forgot all about it. Wow. You know, there's some still people out there that's hurting from that. I have several cousins and an aunt that just lost their husband and their dad. I know how that feels. It's tough. And they're still hurting. Just because the funeral's over doesn't mean that loss, that hurt, and that pain's gone. So there's a lot of people that need our prayers. So when we go through something, we need to be mindful of that. That just because we're going through something doesn't mean the world stops. And everybody should be focused on us. That we need to go to God and say, God, show me what I need to do. Help me through this. But also be mindful that other people are going through things too. And God, help them. Be with them. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. Lord, that you are God who can answer anything that we ask or even think about. And Lord, I do pray that you be with those people in Texas. Why this happened is beyond belief. But I'm afraid things like this are going to continue to happen. And Lord, I pray you be with those people in New York. A lot of those people were from overseas. So Lord, be with those that are afflicted. Lord, be with each and every one of us as we're going through our trials. And I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us would look to you for the answers. Lord, that we would also think about others that are going through things and not just ourselves. That we would really see you. We wouldn't just hear about you, but we would see you, that we would know you, and see how sorry that we really are, and how great that you really are. Pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless this church, continue to grow this church. Lord, I pray that more people start coming here. And Lord, I pray that you would be with us tonight, be with all those that are sick or hurting in the hospital. Lord, be with them, put your head protection around them. Put your loving arms around them, Lord, and bring them home. Heal them. And be with us tonight. Give us a safe trip home in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, if you're able, let's stand for an invitation. 183, I think it is in our songbook. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear.